You may have a seat. Good morning. What a beautiful day outside. A little rainy, overcast. Good day for a football game tonight, right? I expected something out of you. Man, maybe not. All right. Glad you're here this morning. So we have been traveling through the Sermon on the Mount. It's been a long journey, right? It's been a good journey. I hope that you have been challenged in your thinking and worked over in your heart of things that you thought were one thing, but really it's this, and it's changed your outlook. It's changed how you've lived. It's been a fun journey, but it has been a long, arduous journey, and it's coming to an end. How sad. We're at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, but Jesus does not come softly at the end of this sermon. He takes all that has been said of chapters 5, 6, and 7 out of Matthew, and he brings it to a head at the very end. And that's what we're going to finish with today. It's been a journey that has taken us from here's what true joy and blessedness looks like to here's really what you need to be focusing on. It's not the external, it's the internal. Here's what it looks like on the outside of there are two paths to choose. Here's who you need to be careful of. There are people out there that will fool you into thinking one thing, but really they are about something else. And then last week we talked about how important it is for us to know who we are following. Because the day will come when we stand before him and we will say, hey, we've done all of these things. And he may look at you and say, sorry, I didn't know who you were. The you that you professed on the earth is not the you that I'm looking at now. And then today's sermon begins with, therefore, meaning everything that we've talked about the last few months, he's bringing it to a head. Last week we talked about this very idea that we need to embrace the battle of being overdoing. We need to embrace this battle because there is an absolute battle. There are days I don't want to be what I know I'm supposed to be. I'd rather just do whatever I want to do or what's comfortable or convenient for myself. And it's a battle. I have to choose that. Look, it's not about the doing. The doing is important, but the doing should come from the being that I'm supposed to be. And the only way that I can know that being that I'm supposed to be is to follow after someone bigger than myself. And for me, that is Jesus. It's to look to God the Father and saying, what would you have me do? What do I need to get rid of? How do I need to live differently? Make me, form me, let me be who I'm supposed to be in order that I may do that which reflects who I am. It's everything that Jesus was. Everything that he did all the way through his time here on earth, he reflected who he was to the core by the things that he was able to do and accomplish. And if we are to be like Christ, then maybe we should consider that we should do the very same thing. But Jesus was very clear that good deeds don't come from bad spots. Good deeds only come from good spots, from good trees. And we need to make sure that our roots, the system that it grows in, is healthy, vibrant, and fertilized by God and not the world. And so he brings us to this passage that is very pointed. It's very clear. He leaves no stone unturned, finally. And he brings it to a head and he says, here's what this is really about. You, as a listener, have a choice. And my question to you this morning is, what's the choice that you're going to make today? So here's the thought I have for you. Foundation is everything. Foundation is everything. When I think about teaching math, when I go back to teaching algebra, it's foundational. You have to start here and understand this concept in order to build to the next concept, in order to build to the next concept, to be able to accomplish what you want to accomplish in algebra. Now, some of you, I just spoke Greek, and I get that. But just trust me when I say it's all foundational. You have to build. You have to understand numbers first to be able to go into using the letters to be able to understand how to solve an equation. For you business people, you know that the success of your business is founded on truth and ethics and good business practice. It's foundational. That has to be there for this to work. In building a church, Not the physical building, but the people part. There has to be foundational truths that we build off of, or guess what's going to happen? That business is going to crumble. The church is going to fall. And if I do not teach algebra correctly, all my kids are going to fail. And you as a believer, guess what? There are foundational truths that we have to build off of. And it's not what is convenient. It's not our preferences. It's not what we've always believed or what we've always been taught. Every bit of that is built from what we read in this book. This collection of letters and historical documents and absolute true history of what took place. That is what we build off of. And it starts with a person. And that person is Jesus. And when we can build from there, success will follow. It's going to look different, but success will follow. Everything begins with the foundation. Amen? So let's look at Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, again, he is finally bringing his sermon to a close. And next week, we're going to do something really different as far as our church service, and I'm very excited about it. So a little plug in there to get you intrigued about next week. But it'll be a different service. We are going to observe communion next Sunday. But the way that we're going to do it is just, it's going to be a little different. But Jesus is finishing his discourse to the followers that are there. Some are disciples. Most of them are probably disciples. His apostles are there. And he's just teaching. And he ends this way. He says, therefore, which simply means, I'm concluding everything that I've just talked about. So let's, whatever I'm getting ready to say, let's think about all the things that I've talked about and let's put a nice bow on it. He says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Now I want you to think about this. If we go back and we reflect on all the teachings, because Jesus says, he who has heard these sayings. So if we go all the way back, we look at the blessed beatitudes of blessed is the man, and it's talking about here's where true joy lies. If you can live this way, then here's what you will experience by living this way, which is what we are all looking for, by the way. But he doesn't stop there. He says, okay, that's the goal. This is the thing that we are all wanting. But let me show you how to get to that. He says, you've heard it talked about, don't commit adultery. Don't do the physical act. But what I want to change is, absolutely, let's not do the physical act. But what I want to help you with is how to avoid getting to that by changing your heart first. Because in your heart is where you've already committed adultery already. So let's fix the internal in order to address the external. And he goes through all kinds of different things. Murder, giving of our offerings, how we treat people, how we treat our enemies. He goes through all kinds of things. And then he begins to turn the tide a little bit. And he says, listen, if you really want to be a help to your neighbor and to your friend that's having issues, you need to address your own issues first. Let's work on ourselves so that you are healthy, so that you are ready, so that you can be a help to your friend in need. And then he begins to bring it home even more. And he says, by the way, there's only two ways of this life. There's the wide and the broad and the very easy way that actually all these things I just talked to you really don't apply because you're not going to do it that way anyway. That's the easy way. He says, but the way that I've been teaching you, the way that I've been talking to you, the way that I've been encouraging you to go, that's the hard way. That's the narrow way. That's a way that not everybody's going to find, but you can. In fact, I want to encourage you to get there, but I'm telling you, it's difficult. It's not always easy. And then he says, on this way, there are going to be people that are going to try to trick you. There are going to be people that are going to say one thing but do something else. So pay attention to the external doing because it's going to reflect really what's going on in their heart. And then he says, what we talked about last week. He says, because the issue is going to be this. There's going to be a lot of people that are going to show up at my doorstep. And they're going to say, Lord, Lord, we did all these things. And he's going to say, Yes, you did all those things, but I didn't have that relationship with you. Depart from me. So he says, let me show you how this is done. Let me help you choose the narrow way. Let me help you be able to know who's really living for me and who's not. Let me help you know that when you stand before me on judgment day and you say, Lord, Lord, we did all these things, I will be able to look at you and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Here's how you do it. Those that have heard my sayings, what I've just shared with you, what we've just talked through, and you do them, you're going to be like a guy that is building a structure. Building a house. And the way that he is building this house and this structure is he is digging it on a foundation. He is building it on a foundation. He's digging down, finding the solid rock, and he's building it. But I want you to think about this. Have you ever thought about the difference between a rock and a stone? A stone is pretty smooth. A rock is not. A rock is sharp. A rock is rigid. A rock is just all over the place, and it is formed, and it is solid, and it is never changing. Jesus says, if you are going to build, you need to build on the rock that might cut you a little bit, that might be a little odd looking, but it is solid and it is immovable. And if you will build according to it and not trying to reform the rock to you, you will be successful. Well, what does success look like? Look what he says. Verse 25, and the rain descended and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall. Why? For it was founded on the rock. He says, here's what's going to happen. You heard these sayings, and you're going to do them, and we're going to build this structure. You're going to build your house. And you're building on the right foundation. Why? Because when the rains come, and oh, by the way, they're going to come, it's going to beat on that house, but your house is going to stand. And sometimes it's going to be a little sprinkle. Sometimes it's going to be a torrential downpour, and that torrential downpour is going to make the floodwaters rise. And when those floodwaters rise, you're going to get a little nervous because you're going to wonder, is my house, my structure that I've built on this rock foundation, is it going to be blown away? Is it going to be washed away? And then he says, in all of that, there's going to be wind that's blowing. Not just a little wind. It is blowing like a hurricane, like a tornado. It's coming at you. And he says, and all of those things are going to beat upon this house, this structure that you have been building on this rock of a foundation, and it will not fall. I have watched countless Christians, solid believers, endure the trials of life and the junk that is thrown at them, and they endure it well, because on the other side, they are still standing, they are still serving, and they are still going after God. But do you know how they did that? Because they're just awesome. They just do nice things. They're very kind to people. No. In fact, their structure might be ugly as all get out. They may not be very good at all of those things, but their faith is based where it needs to be based, and it's on the foundation of Jesus Christ. It's not about your structure, folks. It's about your foundation. Because Jesus actually addresses that here. Verse 26, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine, so again, same person, same hearing, and does not do them. So now we've got the other road. You've got the narrow road of hearing and doing. You've got the wide road of hearing and not doing. Will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. So, person sitting in the same room, hearing the same teachings, hearing the same thing, and Jesus says, the guy that hears the same thing and chooses not to do them is like a man who is building a house on sand that shifts, or the earth that's going to give way. And I want you to think about that. Because when you go to the beach and you're walking through the sand, it's like a workout just to be able to go sit on the beach and rest, right? Because it's constantly moving. You're having to use muscles you don't normally use. And it's weird. And then when we go down into the ocean right on the outskirts and you stand there and you let the waves wash over you, what naturally happens? You sink because the sands shift. And Jesus says, you who hear the truth and choose not to do it. Now, hearing is not just letting it in one ear and out the other. These are people who understood it. It was plain. It was clear English. These are people who understood what he was teaching and they intentionally chose not to do it. He says, those are people that are building a house on sand. It's going to give way and it's going to fall. And he says, not only is it going to fall, but great is the fall. Verse 28, and so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings, again, referring back to this entire sermon, that the people were astonished at his teaching. They were blown away. Why? These are people that have probably been in and out of the synagogues. People that have been taught all their life the teachings of the Old Testament. These are people that knew the truth and knew what they were supposed to be doing and how they were living. But the way that Jesus taught them blew them out of the water. They were astonished. Why? Because in verse 29 it says, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. I want you to think about that. These scribes, this is their job. This is who they are. These Pharisees, they teach all the time. But what they were teaching was not what they were modeling. And the people were smart enough to figure that out. But Jesus was different. He taught with authority, not as pounding his fist and pointing his fingers and breathing fire out of his mouth, but the compassion in which he taught, the confidence in which he spoke, and the life that he lived matched what he was saying. Do you know how that happened? It was because it was who he was. It wasn't a hat that he took off later or a shirt that he changed out. Jesus spoke with authority because it was the very essence of who he was the entire time. And no one, sadly, had ever spoken to them before like that. It was different. It was real, palpable. They could sense it and see it right in front of them. And they were blown away. So in 2019, what do we do with that? Do we really build houses? Is that really what he's talking about? Or are we just so established in our lives that, you know what, it's too far gone. We don't need to think about this. I should have heard this back when I was a kid. Let me throw a thought out to you. What if we are constantly, every day, building something in our lives? You see, I've been saved a very long time. And I know the foundation by which I've built on, and it is absolutely Jesus. However, there have been periods in my life where I have put additions onto that structure that have not been built on the foundation of Jesus. And those are the structures that I have to go back and say, do they fit in line with truth? And if not, they got to come down. Or if they fit in line with truth, but I did it on my own, is it possible that I can dig away a little bit and re-secure the foundation that it needs to be? So you see, this isn't something that we should have just heard back then. We need to hear it for today as well. So let's tear it apart a little bit and see what we have. So when we think about the rock foundation, it is required of us to dig deep. You see, when we're looking for the rock, it's not up on the top. It's always down underneath. You always have to dig down to make sure that the foundation you're going to build on is strong and it's secure. And Jesus is making the suggestion that, listen, if you're going to build this house, you've got to do some work to get down to where the foundational truth really is. You cannot build it based on what you think and what you want, because those will fail every time. In fact, Luke records what we would call the Sermon on the Mount. It may have been a different time when Jesus was giving this discourse at a different place. But Luke records it just a phrase different. And I want you to notice the difference. He says, whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep. They dug deep. Can I tell you why that scares us? It's too hard. I don't want to dig deep. Why can't I just start right here, right now, and build from where I'm at? Yes, God can do that. But what God really wants to do is to dig away the muck and the mire that will cause the structure to fall and get to the foundational truth to build you into who he wants you to be that will not fall when life happens. Amen. That's what he's looking for. And sadly, our churches are full of people who are building on sand structures. They're building on shifting sands that when life happens, we watch them crumble. Life's hard. Why would we not want to build on something that is lasting, that is solid, that is strong? It may be painful to build there, but let me tell you something. It's going to be useful in the long run. The foundation that we should be building on is the chief cornerstone. Now, that's kind of churchy language. If you're not familiar with Scripture a lot, the chief cornerstone is always referring to Jesus. Always. In fact, 1 Peter pulls out from Isaiah, the prophet, that he actually said this. He says, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame." So there were lots of verses that I could have pulled on to illustrate this, but this is the one I chose, and here's why. I want you to notice the last part of that verse. He who believes on him. Now for you, you may be thinking, hold on. Because we always talk about just believe in Jesus. Just believe in Jesus and you'll be fine. I want to challenge that thought and say, I don't want to just believe in Jesus. I want to believe on Jesus. Because I believe in a lot of things. But to believe on something implies that I'm trusting that something to get me where I need to be. So this morning, Jesus is saying, hey, listen, don't just believe in me. Don't just believe that I existed and I did some cool stuff. Believe on what I did on the cross to bring forgiveness to your sins. Believe on what I did by coming out of that grave to bring eternal life to you. Believe on me. Don't just believe in me. Believing in him allows us to continue to live life however we want. Believing on him will change you from the inside out. And Peter illustrates that the cornerstone that we should be building on, the foundation, is always going to be Jesus. In fact, he's already been established. He will not be moved and he will not be changed. It's already done. So let's talk about the sand in the earth foundation, the sandy part. This is anything that is over Jesus. Anything that we choose to do that's beside Jesus. Anything. Put whatever you want. I could say golf. I could build my entire life around golf. I could build my entire life based on my wife. And what happens if I am doing that and then, God forbid, we get divorced? My whole life has crumbled. But if I'm building my life around Christ first, one, it most likely 100% will protect me from divorce because we are both doing the same thing, going after God. But if it happened, I at least can weather the storm to the other side. Put whatever you want there. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's your coworkers. Maybe it's your neighbor. Maybe it's whatever you want. Whatever you have built your life around is going to fall. Now, it may not fall while we're here on earth, because that's naturally what we think. But when you stand before God and say, well, look what I built, he's going to say, sorry, I don't recognize that structure. It's built on the wrong foundation. And that fall is going to be even greater than if it fell here on earth. There's emotional and physical baggage that we build our life around, that we're building on. Something has happened to us, and so we're putting our identity on that, or we're building our life around that. And that is shifting sands. It's going to cause us to crumble and fall. We do not need to build on that. Maybe you've got a physical ailment that you just, everything's based on that. Set that aside. Let God use that physical ailment somehow, some way, to build you up to who you are, to be able to promote him every single time. And here's really the last one. I love this one. We want to build our foundation of the structure that God is building in us on external stuff rather than internal stuff. Let me illustrate. When we go to church camp, when you went to church camp is a great way to get away from all the distractions, and you are there for a week with other like-minded believers, learning about Jesus, singing about Jesus, doing fun Jesus stuff, and it's this great emotional thing. Agreed? But what happens after about 2 weeks when you get back, because you're building your salvation or your growth around this emotional thing, that emotion dies because it's not getting fed into, and now you're just going to crash. What we want is to take that emotional charging and let it change us from the inside out so that we can continue living that change that we experienced at camp. It's not based on the emotional. Now, I know that I get excited up here, but that's for a reason, because it's exciting to me. But I do not base my salvation on how I feel, because there are lots of days that I don't feel like being a believer. So it can't be on emotion. It can't be on the external. It can't be on putting on this false front. It has to be based on the internal. When we base it on the external stuff, whether I'm raising my hands in worship or whether I'm standing up here and singing or whether I'm teaching or preaching or whatever I'm doing, if I'm basing it on the external, my friends, I'm telling you, that is shifting sands that's going to cause you to fall. And great will be that fall. So let's talk about hears them. When we see that phrase, because he says, it's those people that hears the sayings that I'm talking about. So when we talk about the internal aspect of this, because I do believe hears them and does them is the internal and the external that Jesus has been talking about through the entire chapters. He says, when we talk about the internal of hearing them, it's comprehension, it's understanding. It's more like listening. So it's not like it's just going in one ear and out the other. It's I'm hearing what you're saying, I'm comprehending it, and I'm understanding what you're asking me to do. For instance, when we read through this, Jesus spoke very clearly. The last few months that I've been preaching through this, I've tried to be as clear and as concise and as plain as I possibly can. Why? Because I don't want you to be confused when you get out of here. I want you to understand the severity of what we're talking about, the magnitude, the weight of what you should be considering about your spiritual walk. So I want it to be plain, because I want, for those that hear the sound of my voice and the things that I'm sharing, I want them to understand what I'm talking about. And Jesus is implying, he's saying, those that are hearing my sayings are those that understand what I'm talking about and are comprehending and putting the pieces together. Here's what's tricky about this passage. He applies that to both scenarios. Not just the guy that's going to build wisely on the foundation of Jesus, but the same group of people that heard the same sayings. They understood it. They comprehended it. They just chose not to do it. And listen, churches all around the world are full of us that do that. There are certain topics that I hear spoken on that really challenge me. And I have to take weeks of fighting myself from saying, no, I'm good, I don't need to do that. I'm good. Now, I feel that twinge, but I'm good. I'm gonna keep building the way I'm building, because I don't really want to do the hard work. Until God finally gets a hold of me and whips me down and says, dude, you want to be healthier? You want to be better? Let's work on this. I'm not here to make you feel bad, but I'm glad you feel bad. You should feel bad, but I'm going to free you from that. I want to save you from this. I want to dig down underneath all that muck that you're trying to build on and get to the root of all this and build on a better foundational truth so that you can be a healthy believer for me. That's the God we serve. And so both scenarios, both the builder, the wise builder, and the foolish builder, both heard the sayings. They comprehended it. They understood it. But one did them. That's the external. This is the practice. I practice the things that I'm learning. I'm not always good at that, but I get around to it. I'm not always good at trusting it right off the bat, because I think the method that I'm doing works best. And Jesus says, no, you're an idiot. Mine's going to work best. Trust me. So I have to trust him. But then what it really boils down to is, because talk is cheap for me, I've just got to obey it. And obeying means I'm going to live this out of the things that I'm understanding internally. That's so hard for us. But let me tell you something. When we can do that, success is in the survival. You see, we think success is just doing the right thing all the time. That's what we're called to do. That's our responsibility. Success is in the survival, that when the winds come and the rains come and the floods come and everything's coming against you, you survive to the other side. That's the success. Because the foundation that you built on, the structure that you were able to build with God's help, withstands life. That's what he offers you today. And sadly, so many of us get to this place. Yeah, I hear you, God. I know that's what I'm supposed to do, but I'm good. I'm just going to try it this way. I'll try to come back later. I know you'll forgive me, so it's all good. Whew. Please be careful with that. When we hear these sayings and we comprehend what the Holy Spirit is talking to us about, and we choose not to do them, we are intentionally ignoring it. These are not dumb people that are hearing these sayings. Jesus implies that they understood everything that he shared with them. They understood the challenge that was in front of them. They understood that they had the two paths they had to choose from. They understood what it meant to commit adultery in their heart rather than the physical act. They understood that he was coming after their heart and not the external. They understood that, and they intentionally ignored it. That is a person that is building foolishly and building on shifting sands. Here's why we do that. We're just lazy. Let me rephrase that. I'm lazy. It gets too hard. I've dug way too many ditches to get to the foundation. I'm tired of digging. Please just let me do it on my own. And then I build it up and watch it come crumbling down. And then I run back to him and say, "Why'd you let that do that?" And he says, "Well, he who hears my sayings and does them not, that's what's going to happen, Alan." Can we stop being lazy? Can we look at the hard stuff and say, "Yeah, that's going to be hard, but not doing the hard stuff now is going to make it even more complicated on the other side"? I don't like having hard conversations. I don't like having to confront stuff in my own life. I'm not worried about you guys. I'm talking about me. I don't like looking myself in the mirror and having that hard conversation saying, "You're being dumb. Stop." Or that internal conflict of, "This is really what I want to do, and man, that's going to make me super happy, but I know this is what I'm supposed to do because I've got to protect my job, I've got to protect my family, but man, I really want to do this, but this is really what I need to be doing." I know that I'm not the only one like that, by the way. And I want to build my structure. I want my life to reflect true repentance. I want my life to reflect that I'm building on something bigger than myself, that is more solid than I am and more solid than the world around me. Because when the world comes at me, when the rains come, I want to know that I can stand. But when I build on sand, I've been too lazy to build it correctly. And when the rains and the floods and the wind hit, it's going to fall. We just want to do the quicker. We don't want to put in the time and the effort to do what we need to do. We want to do what's quick and easy and convenient. And Jesus says, "Nope, you can do that. It's your option, your free will. You can do whatever you want. But I'm telling you now, you're actually creating more work for yourself in the long run." And this is really a pride issue for us. It blows my mind. It boggles my brain when we talk with people and they literally look us in the eye and say, "I believe what you're saying, I understand what you're trying to get me to do, and I know that's the right thing to do, but I just won't or I just can't." That breaks my heart. Breaks my heart because I know what's going to happen. And the shifting sands may not give way until they stand before a holy God and he looks at them and says, "Sorry, I don't know the you that you represent." This is knowledgeable destruction. Knowledgeable destruction. The destruction comes not because we didn't know. The destruction, the fall of this place does not come because we weren't paying attention. Jesus clearly implies you heard the sayings, you understood, you comprehended what was being taught you, and you intentionally ignored it, and you built the structure on shifting sands, and when life happened, it crumbled. Knowledgeable destruction. You knew. Because the rains are going to come. If they haven't yet, not trying to scare you, not trying to make you worry, but let's just be realistic. Life is hard. Life is unfair. There's nothing fair about this world that we live in. Nothing. So quit whining about that and accept the fact it is what it is. Live it. do your best and just know rains are going to come. Again, it may be a nice soft sprinkle. It may be a rain like we have today. And it may be a torrential downpour, but it's going to come. And when those downpours happen, guess what? The flood waters are going to rise and it's going to make you sweat. In fact, it may get up into your house a little bit. But again, it's not about the structure that you're building, but the foundation by which you're building on. Structures can always be replaced, but the foundation can never be replaced. It is what it is. And the winds are going to blow. You know what's great about Emma, besides all the great things that she has? She lets us know when it's raining outside, because for whatever reason, her hearing is like heightened. And when she hears the rain hitting her roof, and the wind's blowing, and the lightning flashing, and the thunder hitting, it terrifies her. And she is so fast coming down those stairs, it's raining! Because she's worried. She wants to feel safe and secure. So she comes to Sally and I, and we try to encourage her and love on her. What if we weren't there? As her strong foundation. Who would she go to? Ethan and Eli? Definitely not Eli, right? Yeah. What if there was nobody there? And she had built her world around Chick-fil-A. And the storm comes and she's at home and Chick-fil-A is nowhere to be found. Her world is going to crumble. But what if? What if in those moments, when we feel the world swallowing us up and we run to the very foundational truth of Jesus being our Savior, and we fall before a holy God and say, watch out for me, protect me, guess what he's going to do? He's going to say, you came to the right place, you've built your structure, you're good. That's what I want, man. Not just for me. I want that for every single person in this room. I want you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that when the world comes at you, you've got a sure foundation in Jesus that no matter what happens, you're good. No matter what happens. Because all are going to beat against the building at some point. It's going to take place. Jesus said it. It's going to happen. He's using this as an example for us to understand that it's going to happen. And the success that you have in those storms is not based on how great your structure looks. It's not based on how well you built it. It's based on the foundation by which it is built on. You may have the best thing going, the best family, the best life, the best business, the best cars, all that stuff. And if you have built your life around that, when the life truly hits, it's going to crumble. But if you have built it around Jesus, the structure may not look as flashy or as good. And then again, it may be the best structure around, but it doesn't matter because it's built on the right kind of foundation. Both scenarios, okay? I want you to watch this. In both scenarios with the wise builder and the foolish builder, one, they both heard the same teachings. Same teachings. I kind of put it like, in this room, everybody is hearing the same teaching, agreed? Now, you may be processing it differently, but you're hearing the same words that are coming out of my mouth. They both heard the same teaching. They both built some types of structure. And by the way, you're building a structure. You're building something. You may not quite know what it looks like or what it is, but you're building something. The question is, what are you building on? And then to understand that in this scenario, not only were they hearing the same thing and building a structure, but they experienced the same type of harsh circumstances. So nowhere in here can we say, well, nobody understands what I'm going through. That is garbage. Stop saying that. Because we all are people. We're all experiencing the same type of something, somehow, some way, just at different stages in life. But there are two distinct, different outcomes. The outcomes are distinctly different. One succeeds and one falls. I'm hoping that you're sitting here thinking through this. I'm hoping that you are playing back through your mind, maybe going back to that time where you decided to follow Christ. Maybe going back to that time where you thought you decided to follow Christ, but nothing has been done to follow up with that? Again, not trying to get you to doubt your salvation, but here's what I'm trying to get you to do. Here's what I want more than anything. Take a step back from what you think you know to be true. Take a deep breath. Put some spiritual glasses on and look through the lens of Jesus and say, God, what am I missing? I want you to think about this. Who are you today? Are you the wise builder that's building on a sure foundation? And maybe you've got some extra structures that you've added on, but you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, this is the structure that I'm building on. This is the foundation that I'm on. Or maybe you're realizing this morning that you were absolutely building foolishly. You thought you were building on Jesus, but you really haven't built on the truths that he has challenged you to build on. And if that's the case, what are you building your structure on, really? If you're foolishly building, what are you building it on? What is it that you feel comfortable enough to identify to say, that's got to go? What is it that you're not comfortable identifying, but willing to have Jesus identify and say, that's got to go? Because if we're not building on Jesus, we're building on something. And what is that something? And then lastly, are you hearing and doing right? Or are you hearing and doing just whatever you want? Because in all of us, there's the aspect of we have to hear before we can do. And so when I hear, am I doing what I'm hearing that is correct and right? Or am I hearing and then doing just whatever the world I want to do? Only you can answer that. But Jesus does kind of make it clear that we can look at each other's fruit and kind of get an idea of where we're at. We want to be followers of Christ, building on the sure foundation of Jesus Christ, knowing that the life that he will change us internally will be reflected externally by how we live. That's the life we want. I can do a lot of nice things. I can be a really nice guy. But if I'm doing it under my own power, then I'm building on shifting sands. It's got to be he who lives within me to cause me and to work and do what I can't do. And to do it for the right reasons. Your foundation is everything. And as the praise team comes, we're going to end the service this way. I know last week I said we were going to have an altar call, and you are always welcome to come to our stairs and pray. But next Sunday, we're going to be observing communion, and it's going to be, the sermon's going to be different, but we're going to have a time of response built into there in a couple of different ways. So this morning, here's what I want you to think about. And I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes and bow your head. That way you don't have to worry about me staring a hole through your head. But I want you to think about these things. Who are you really today? Not who you think you are. Not who you want to be. But can you honestly look at yourself and say, here's truly where I'm at? And if you can't, here's what I would encourage you to do. I would encourage you to pray a little prayer like this. God, I've heard what has been shared today, and it's struck a chord with me. Help me truly see who I really am. God, please reveal to me what foundation I am truly building on. And God, as you reveal that foundation, give me the courage to either continue building on the right, sure foundation or to stop building altogether and reform the right foundation to grow on. Many of you may be sitting here this morning thinking, well, man, I've been saved a long time, but there's something going on inside of me right here, right now. Let me help you understand what that is, because it may be that weird feeling like you feel like you might throw up, but not quite. And it's just that odd feeling that you've never experienced before. Let me help you understand what that is. That's the Spirit of God trying to get your attention. And maybe you've been saved a long time and it hasn't hit you in a long time, but maybe there's something going on in your heart and your life that God's trying to say, hey, you're building some things on the wrong foundation. Let me work with you on that. Or maybe he's saying, you might think you're on the right foundation, but it's not me. Here's what I would like for you to pray. God, I do love you, and I appreciate all that you've done. And I hear you this morning. I feel you. I know you're trying to get my attention for something, and I pray that you would guide my sight to whatever that might be. Help me see what it is that I'm really building on. And if it's you, give me courage to keep going. If it is not, give me courage to make the necessary change. In just a moment, I'm going to pray for all of us. Again, you have the freedom to come. You can come to the altar and pray. You can stay right where you're at. You don't even have to stand and sing. If you just want to have a quiet moment, that's fine. But next week will be a pointed time of decision. And my prayer for you is that you will sit on this all week, that God will not leave you alone. Maybe even make the decision before you get here next Sunday. But let's see what God does. Let's give him a chance. Would you be willing to do that? God, I appreciate all that you do. I appreciate your word and your sermon. God, it is so powerful and pointed and clear for us. But God, it is so hard for us because it requires us to lay down our pride. It requires us to lay down what we've always thought, to trust you with everything that's within us. Lord, I pray for every individual here because this hits all of us, God. Strengthen those that are building on your foundation and are strong and have weathered the storms. God, strengthen them. Bring them more confidence in you than they've ever had. For those, God, that are struggling, that aren't quite sure, Lord, I pray that you would bring their attention to what they need to let go and to rebuild. For those that have never built on you, that have never trusted that you are the way, the truth, and the life, that have never trusted that your way is the best way, the right way, that have never just sacrificed everything to go after you, Lord, I pray that you would wrestle with them all week. If not today, bring them to a point of decision next week. Be gentle with them, God. Lovingly bring them close to you. Let them feel your presence more than ever before. Let them know that there is a God that is not against them, that absolutely loves them and has great plans for them, but is asking for them to deny themselves and to take up your cross and to follow you. We are here today because we love you. We are here today because we want to hear your truth and we have heard your truth. May we be a people that is known to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. Thank you in Jesus' name.